May the Lord be pleased to bless us together this morning as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 32, and we'll read verses 26 and 27. The prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 32, and reading verses 26 and 27. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? It's a question which is spoken by God. And the question the Lord poses is this: I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? So there is the question. And how do we respond to that question this morning? Well, it will be a great blessing if God grants us living faith to be able to recognize and to appreciate and to know that there is nothing that is too hard for God. There are many hard things which we can read of in the Word of God, and we can read of them many times when God appeared, when God did great things. Nothing too hard for God. Our trouble is, our faith is very weak. And we do not pray in faith. And if we come praying in faith, we often, or think we pray in faith, we often do not have a right motive. Our motive, remember, must always be for the honour and glory of God. That's the end result. The honour and glory of God. Therefore, whatever we may pray for, whatever need we may have in our natural lives, in our spiritual lives, the end result should be for the honour and glory of God. And that is a very important consideration. As you and I come in our prayers to God, And I hope we all pray, all of us pray, the children and the middle-aged and the old people and the young people, may we all be found praying unto God. But the important thing is that those prayers, if they are answered, must bring honour and glory to God. And may we always be active in thanking God and proclaiming what God has done, and not to lie such answers forgotten in unthankfulness or without praises die. We are a dire people, aren't we? How sad it is, how sinful it is, that we perhaps do pray and perhaps we do receive answers, but do we really thank God and thank him from our heart? And men and women and boys and girls shall know that the Lord has heard and answered our prayers. Well, we know this morning, I hope we know, I hope we can believe that this word is true, that there is indeed nothing too hard for our God. In answer to this question, is there anything too hard for me? Well, there's not. You know, in an earlier verse, in the 17th verse of this same chapter, we have Jeremiah speaking. And Jeremiah says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And it's good to remember that, and it's good to recognize that we don't read only of God creating the heaven and the earth in Genesis. We read it throughout the Word of God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So let us be thankful for that. And here he says this, "And there is nothing too hard for thee." That was Jeremiah's testimony. Now we ought to just recognise that here was Jeremiah in prison. We might think, well, surely Jeremiah, you would have been praying that God would have delivered you and brought you out of prison. Well, Jeremiah knew that there was nothing too hard for God, but that the Lord has his way, the Lord had his plan for you and me. And it may be that we are found, I hope not in natural prison, although perhaps sometimes God's people are they. Remember, Ian Paisley was put in prison in Northern Ireland when he was speaking out against the things which were contrary to the word of God. And he was put in prison. And remember when he was in that prison, he says that when the door clanged shut, the Lord came and was with him in that cell. So we should not think that perhaps because we're Christians that we should not perhaps have to face such a situation as that. But nonetheless, it's good if the Spirit of God should be with us in such a condition. But it may be in our spiritual life that we find ourselves in prison. And we don't seem to have liberty. See, if you're in prison, generally speaking, you're in a cell. You're not free to open the cell gate or door and to wander about where you want to. You're stuck there. And it's only when the jailer comes and opens the door that you're allowed out. And so it may be in our spiritual life we may be found, as it were, in prison. And we can't seem to get ourselves out. Well, it's a good thing we can't. Because what we will need is God to come and to deliver us and to bring us into a condition of freedom and liberty. And when I say that, I mean, of course, in a spiritual way, that God will bless our souls and enable us to enjoy that liberty which is enjoyed by the true Church of God, who walk before him in the light of his countenance. They walk before him and God is with them, and God reveals himself to them, and God speaks to them. And what a blessing is, therefore, if we are brought out of prison and we come into the great and glorious light of the gospel, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and draws near to us and reveals himself to us. There we've been in prison. There's been no light. You know, some cells are dark. Especially years ago, there wasn't any natural light and there wasn't any artificial light, and they were dark. Sometimes in the spiritual life, our souls are in a dark condition and we cannot see the light and we cannot get ourselves out of that light. But if we are like that, let us just remember the occasion referred to in the life of Jonah. And again, there may be similarities in our lives. You may say, well, hold on a minute, I'm not sure if I've been like Jonah. Well, you may have been. We may have run away from God. We run away. Jonah didn't want to do what God told him to do. And therefore he thought, I'll escape. I'll escape. And off he went. Got on a ship, paid the fare. Yes, and he was so unconcerned about what God had told him to do, he went to sleep. But you see, God knew where Jonah was. And God knows where we are. He knows where we are in our natural life. He knows where we are in our spiritual life. And you know, it may be that we're running away from God. Well, Jonah thought he would. And he thought he'd be all right. Well, everything went okay to begin with, didn't it? It was a nice, smooth path. It may be so when you might think, well, I've got away with this, and I don't think I've got to obey God's voice. No, I can carry on. God's hand was upon Jonah. And Jonah was going to learn a very hard lesson. A very painful lesson. You know, of course, that the great storm arose. God, of course, was in that. He brought the storm. And he brought the storm with such ferocity that there was no option but eventually to throw Jonah overboard because he confessed he was the problem. But God, in his mercy, had prepared that great whale, that great fish, to swallow up Jonah. And there he was. Where was he then? He was in darkness. He was in prison. He couldn't get himself out, could he? Just imagine, stuck in that whale's stomach, right in the midst of the sea, not able to free himself, in darkness, gross darkness, no light at all. And yet, Jonah was a man of God. But Jonah had disobeyed God. It may be in our lives that we disobeyed God and we are in darkness. Well, what was the turning point in the life of Jonah? What was the turning point? The turning point was this. When he prayed to God. He said, I will look again to thy holy temple. He prayed to God. And God brought him to that position where he had to say, without any doubt, salvation is of the Lord. The deliverance of his soul was of the Lord, and also a physical deliverance was of the Lord. And what had happened? God's work had been accomplished. And Jonah then was vomited out of the fish's belly onto dry land. And then you see, when God's word came to him, well, he didn't demur then, did he? He went to Nineveh. He preached the preaching that God had given him to preach. And of course, it had a wonderful effect. Well, Jonah was in prison. God delivered him. My friends, Jeremiah was here in prison. Now, Jeremiah was here not because he was unfaithful, not because he didn't believe the word of the Lord, but because he told the king the truth of God's word, and the king didn't like it, and he was put in prison. Again, there may be those situations when we are honest and truthful in the things of God, and we don't receive the acknowledgement that we think we should, and perhaps we're looking for. And in fact, it seems that things are in the opposite way, are going wrong. Well, don't be discouraged, because God has a purpose. And God had a purpose in the life of Jeremiah. And that's why, by faith, Jeremiah was able to say, "And there is nothing too hard for thee." And that's a wonderful blessing. When you and I are able, by faith, to come and acknowledge to our God, there's nothing too hard for God to do. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And today, we have a great God. And so here we have this statement by the Lord when he said, "Behold, you and I are to see, to acknowledge, to realize, behold these words, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? There is nothing too hard for our God. Nothing too hard for our God to bring us out of a condition of darkness in our soul. And it may be, perhaps, that the Lord has brought us there to show us perhaps something of ourselves, our own sinfulness, the pride of our heart, the pride of our life, the lust of the flesh. They're all there. And sometimes we may be sailing on, just living with these evil things and assuming, well, that's just one of those things. Well, when the Spirit of God comes upon us and shows us the wrongness of such views and thoughts and actions, and directs us then to our condition, and it may be that we find ourselves in darkness, we find ourselves in prison, so that the Lord may reveal himself and give us in that condition a real prayer. Jonah had a real prayer, didn't it? It took him 3 days to get there, but he got there in the end. My friends, it may be perhaps days, it may be weeks, it may be years, it may have been years. But you see, the Lord will appear. The Lord has a time. The Lord has a perfect time. We have a time. It's usually a wrong time. God has a time. And God's time is a right time. And God's time is a perfect time. And God's way is a right way. And God's way is a perfect way. Yes, God knows what he will do. The Lord knows what he will do. Now you and I should rest in that. But you know, in resting in that, it means that we should come and cast our care upon him and desire that he would instruct us and he would show us if we are wrong and where we are wrong and how we should react and what we should do and what we should say and how we should pray. We're very ignorant and foolish, aren't we? We are fools, you know. And we turn away so often from the Word of God and we think we can analyse our situation ourselves. Or perhaps we're not very worried and we don't try and analyse our condition. But it's good when the Holy Spirit does come and directs us to seek his direction and to seek his will. Now, this chapter that we read in Jeremiah is very instructive, and I hope you followed it through as I read it. I hope you didn't just think about other things. I hope you followed it through, because it spoke there of God's dealings with his people and how they were going to go down into captivity because they rebelled against God, because they turned their back upon God. They'd given him the back and not the front. Have you done that? Have you turned your back upon God? It's a very sad place. But if you have, the Lord gives strength and grace to seek his face. And the Lord, when that work of correction is done, he will remember you. He remembered Jonah. He didn't leave him. But you know, you can easily come into that condition and turn your back upon God. Why do we do that? We don't want to do the will of God. That's what it is, isn't it? We don't want to do the will of God. So we turn our back upon God. And what does that produce? Darkness. And what is darkness? No light. What does that mean? It means barrenness in our soul. That's what it means. Yes. And the Word of God tells us, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. That means there's no water to drink. And that means there's no spiritual blessing for us if we have rebelled against God. And sometimes we're not always aware that we have rebelled against God. But if we are disobeying God's word, disobeying God's commands, then we are walking contrary to God. And the word of God is so clear. As it occurred to Israel, they walk contrary to God. And what did God say? If you walk contrary to me, I will walk contrary to you. And God doesn't tell lies. And don't think that you and I can therefore get away with it. You may get away with it for a while. You may think you escaped. Jonah thought he had. But you see, God knows. God knows how he's dealing with us. And it's a great blessing to be dealt with by God and not left to fall into hell. Dealt with by God. Now then, here we have these words. Is there anything too hard for me? No, there's nothing too hard for God. And God can come. And God can deliver. And God can restore. And God can bless. Well, we may think, well, I don't think that applies to me. Yes, it does. It applies to the whole church of God. God is able to do far more exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. You know, it's sinful to limit God. Because what it means is we are unbelieving. We're not believing that God speaks truth. These words are here. Is there anything too hard for me? No, there's not. Do you and I believe that with our whole heart? Or do we think, well, I do believe it, but it doesn't apply to me. That means you're not believing it. That means you're turning your back upon God. That's a very solemn and very tragic thing, isn't it? To turn our back upon God. We are to face God. We are to look to God. We're not to turn our back upon him. We're encouraged to look to him. And that means not to look to yourself and think you can cure the problem. No, we're told, the Lord has said, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel that do these things for them. Now I know that naturally speaking the Lord does use means, and that's right and proper, but it's still right to pray to God that he will bless the means and use the means and direct the means. But more so, of course, with regard to our spiritual deliverance, to be brought out of that time of darkness into the glorious light of the everlasting gospel. And in a dark room, perhaps in a dark cell, with no natural light or no lighting of any kind, you know, it's exceedingly dark. But, you know, in that dark room, if a match was struck, it would give an amazing amount of light. An amazing amount of light. And if then, perhaps a candle was lit, which stayed for longer than a match, you know, that single candle would give an amazing amount of light. Well, so it is, wonderfully, in the things of God. When the Lord comes and shines his light, it may just seem to be a little light. Bless God if you and I have granted a little light. A little light. So that it changes our darkness. And now, instead of darkness, we just see there's a light. It's not all that clear. There's light all round. And, you know, a little light will light up all the room in some measure. And I believe that is so in a spiritual way. When the Lord comes and gives us a little light in a dark condition, what happens is we have a little light in the whole great plan and work of God. It's just amazing. There we were in darkness, and there the light shone. What has happened? The Lord has done it. Is there anything too hard for me? Well, here were Jeremiah in this dungeon, and he was speaking to Israel and telling them of what would happen because of their disobedience. And so, that which the Lord had prophesied and spoken through Jeremiah came to pass. But also, in this chapter, we also read how there would be a deliverance, a return from captivity. And if we are in captivity now, captivity because of our sins, that's why Israel were there. Yes, they were down there in Babylon, and it was a sad time, wasn't it? Because we're told the people of Babylon said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Sing us one of your hymns. How shall we sing the word of God in a strange land? You see, they hadn't got that blessing with them. They were far off physically. They were far off. No doubt their heart went back to Jerusalem, and they remembered how they had been allowed to worship God, and yet they'd worship Baal, and they'd worship the stars of heaven and so on. They'd been disobedient. Now there they were, and here was this prophecy, you see. They would go down to Babylon, and they did. You and I cannot sin against God lightly. Don't think you can. Don't think, well, I can just do that and there won't be any problem. Yes, there will be. There was for Israel, wasn't there? 70 years. 70 years. A long time, wasn't it? A long time. But God came, and he turned their captivity. They turned their captivity. And the word of God here, which we've read about, tells us, behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. Well, we could go on, but there's the truth of God. That was the prophecy. They must have held on to that, mustn't they, in their dark condition. And perhaps you and I in our dark condition, as it were in Babylon. Does our faith rise up to come and to trust in the Lord? Does it rise up to trust the promises of our God? Does our faith rise up to believe in his faithfulness? What God has said will come to pass. And therefore we then come in faith to pray to our God. Well, the Lord gloriously grants a restoration, didn't he, to Judah after those 70 years. And of course, it was in an amazing way, wasn't it, when the king in Babylon encouraged them, was instructed by God to allow them to go back to Jerusalem, once again build the walls and rebuild the temple. Yes, God's mercy, God's grace, my friends, it hasn't changed today. God is still a God of mercy. He is still a God of grace. What a mercy it is to realize that we come before that same God. And so may we come rejoicing today in that great truth that Jonah was blessed with. Salvation is of the Lord. What does that teach us? It teaches us this, that our hope, our salvation is not in anything that you and I can do in and of ourselves. It is free grace, and it's the revelation of Christ to our souls as our Redeemer, as the only one that can deliver us from the wrath to come, the only one that can save our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my friends, then, what a blessing it is if perhaps we've been brought down into that place where we've had to recognise, by the grace of God, the Spirit of God has spoken into our hearts. It is, as it were, the lights shone. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians, and he wrote these words in the third chapter of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, we read this. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So the revelation by the Spirit of Christ to our souls will direct us to this statement, unto him be glory in the church. Because it's what he has done in coming to us, bad as we were, bad as we are, unbelieving as we were, unbelieving as we are, he is able, he is willing. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Do you and I believe this today? We're here, aren't we? In the attitude of worship, do we believe that we are in the presence of Almighty God? The one who rules and reigns. The God of all flesh. Yes, the God who is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And you see, with this spiritual understanding of the greatness of our God, and my friends, may we have it. May we come before God as the great God. And may it be a solemn realization. And may it be a blessed realization to know that we have a God who, although he marks everything that we do and say and think, yet he's a merciful God. And yet he's a God who looks upon his people and remembers them for good. And he will not leave us, and he will not forsake us. So may we thank God that we have this God. And so we're thankful to know that we worship the unchanging God. The unchanging God. Well, what a mercy then if we have the evidence in our hearts. And that's what we need, my friends. It's not just some natural understanding in our mind. You know, many people today with a good theoretical knowledge of the things of God, but they remain dead in trespasses and in sins. But you see, when the Lord God gives light, he gives life, and that is eternal life. And that's what we all need to know, that we possess the life of God in our souls. We all possess natural life. We're here today with a natural life. More important is that you and I possess spiritual life. Our natural bodies will die. Our soul will live forever. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus Christ thy only plea? Because he is the great forerunner there. He's there in glory. My friends, are we pleading the name of Christ today? Are we pleading for his mercy? Are we pleading to know his love? Are we pleading to know that he's died for us? Nothing's too hard for our God. You may be feeling, I am far off. You may be feeling, I am at the ends of the earth. You may be feeling, can there be any hope for me? Yes, you can be encouraged because of a word like this. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, my friends. God is able to do for us great things. Abraham proved it in a natural way. Joseph proved it in a natural way. They both, of course, proved it in a spiritual way as well. Yes, we've seen how God appeared for them. We see how God's appeared for his saints. We think of Daniel. Great deliverance for him. Great deliverance for those three Israelis' children, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Yes, God appeared, didn't he? He brought them out of the fire. And they weren't even affected by it. This is the God that you and I have this morning, my friends. But let us not only rejoice in it, let us tremble that we have such a God who holds our breath in his hand, who can cause that breath to cease in a moment. Let us realize we stand before that God now, as we will indeed on that great day of judgment. We stand before God now. Yes, it's a very solemn consideration, isn't it? We tend to forget, don't we? Go on our way. We don't think God sees us, and we do what we want, and we think we want. God is in every place. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Well, we may have hard cases. There's no case too hard. You remember there was that king Manasseh. He was a very wicked king. A very wicked king. But God had mercy upon him. God caused Manasseh to pray unto the Lord. And just a word of warning to you young people. When you read the Bible, you may read a part of the Bible and you may come to a conclusion and you may think, well, that's the answer to that. Well, it may be the wrong answer. And you may say, well, why do you say that? Because the case of Manasseh, if you just read his life in Kings, you would conclude that there was absolutely no hope for such a wicked man as that. But if you read the parallel case in the Chronicles, where again there's the life of Manasseh set forth, you will see that how bad it was to start with, in the end, God caused him to pray to God for mercy, and God blessed him. Blessed him indeed. Now the lesson there is that you and I should consider the whole counsel of God and therefore not jump to conclusions and say, well, there we are, that's the answer. The whole counsel of God. My friends, the whole word of God. You know, it's a great blessing if you and I read the word of God. I read in the press this day that they've done an analysis or whatever you call it with the Church of England, and they reckon 60% of the people who attend the Church of England never read the Bible. 60%. That's tragic, isn't it? And it probably applies to all the other churches as well. You and I, my friends, are to read the Bible. We are to read the Bible diligently. We are to read it from Genesis to Revelation. And then again, don't just have a favourite chapter. Don't just have a favourite book. Read the whole Word of God. And the more you read it, the more it will be blessed to you, I'm sure. And how you'll be encouraged to know as you trace out the path of the people of God. you'll find your path there. You may be surprised. Well, this person had this to pass through, and I'm passing through that. And you'll be encouraged and blessed. And that really applies to perhaps this book of Jeremiah. It's not a book very often read, is it? But it's a good book, and it's worth reading, and there's some good instruction in it. So, read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. And look to the Lord that He may direct you in your reading. If you need direction, don't go and ask this person, that person, what should you do, what should you say. Read the Word of God. God will tell you. It may not always be what you want. You know, David sought the Lord's guidance with regard to fighting. Many times the Lord said, go up, fight. On one occasion he said, no, don't go up, don't fight. Yes, you see, the Lord gives us direction. And what a wonderful thing to know that we have Almighty God, who graciously condescends to give us answers to our prayers. Remember, as I said already, to pray in the right way. What a blessing it is to have such a God who looks upon us, such unworthy sinners of the earth. We don't deserve any notice, do we? What compassion, what love, what mercy. Well, today, may we rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. May we be thankful that we have such encouraging words to realize we come before the Almighty, Omnipotent God, who is able to do great things. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Amen.